Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. And I want to put verse 8 in with these verses. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. That's verse 8. Does Jesus ever change? God said, I am the Lord, I change not. Okay? Was putting Jesus on the cross not part of God's original plan? No, it was his plan all along. And he prophesied it even in Genesis chapter 3. But the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, thou shalt bruise his heel and he'll bruise your head. That was foreordained and known of God even before the tempter tempted Eve. God already had the plan in the works. The Bible tells us that the Lamb of God, Christ, was slain from the foundation of the world. That means it was an eternal and everlasting salvation as far as God is concerned. There's no one, it doesn't matter if they were born before Christ or after Christ, there's no one outside of his ability to save them. Does that make sense to everybody? Whether it was in the past or in the future. See, we would look and say, well, it's too late to save them. God said, no, I already saved them. I already did that. And that's just kind of how God sees that. So Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And then he says, be not carried away or carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats or things that you eat. Oh, this, if you eat this, this will save you. If you don't eat that, you'll be better. Which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Somebody told me something a long time ago. They said, Mike, think about this. With all the advances in medical science that we have now in the 21st century, the death rate is still 100%. Amen? Pat Boone sang a song a long time ago. Everybody dies. Everybody dies. And it's true. Everybody. It is appointed unto man once to die. And what comes after that? This is why people decide that they're going to be atheist. They decide that they're going to be atheist. You know why? Because we have an appointment with God after we die. And the atheist thinks that if he just chooses not to believe in God, then that appointment will go away. He doesn't have to make that appointment. But you stare into the casket and everybody dies, and that soul, whoever that was, I don't care if they were a prince or a pauper, they have to go stand before their creator and give an account. Can I hear you say amen? That's what everybody has to do. And so all the things that you do in this life or in this body, whether you live 20 years, whether you live 5 weeks, whether you live 95 years or 105 years, you're eventually, anything that you did in this life is not going to profit you as far as eternal life is concerned. You could beat Jack LaLanne. Jack LaLanne was making health videos and juicing commercials up until the guy died. I didn't know he was like this tall. Camera made him look big back in the 50s. Amen. But he died. And all that exercise he did and all the juice he drank and all the stuff he did not profit his soul. I often ask, where did he go when he died? Made no profit to his soul whatsoever. So be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. So anyway, so that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about how can we know what it is that we believe, and how do we know that it's true? And I just asked the question, what do you believe and why do you believe it? I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 28. I've never stopped and studied this out of the scriptures. And I got to looking at it today, and it's like the Holy Ghost was saying, Mike, take a look at that. There's something there that I'm going to show you on it. And I don't want to be insensitive tonight, but I am going to talk about vomit. I'm not going to go into gory details. I'm not going to discuss anything like that. But God gave us a sign or a symbol of vomit. And I'm being dead serious. Jesus said to the Laodicean church, I would that you were either hot or cold. Either hot or cold. And both of them have like a symbolic relevance in the scripture. But he said, you're not. You're in between. You're a cross between the two. It's like a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Someone who is both hot and cold is someone who is lukewarm. And Jesus said, you are lukewarm, therefore I will spew you out of my mouth. And he meant exactly what he said. He said, you make me sick the way you're doing and the way you're being. And so this idea of, in fact, let me read the scriptures. You know, I'm just not poking fun and trying to come up with something. Isaiah chapter 28, verse, you know what? I've got it in my notes, verse 11, but I'm going to back up a little bit. Verse 7, here's what the Bible says. They have also erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. Now, eventually, we're going to study those issues. I do not believe that you can be a drunk and a preacher or a church member or a solid, born-again, Bible-believing Christian. One of them's got to go. One of them's got to go. And I would say to anybody tonight, if you're struggling with alcohol, God's the answer for it. You just call unto God and God will deliver you in His time and in His way. He may not do it tonight. I've known people, though. I had a guy testify to me years ago. He said, I finally had enough of it. He said, I asked God to deliver me, and God delivered me. And he said, the next time I was tempted to drink, I did. And he said, it came out quicker than it went in. And he said, I knew right then that God had helped me. God does do things that way for some people. With some people, it's not overnight. But if you ask God and you mean it, God will deliver you. God will give you grace. God will help you. Somebody say amen. Amen, Roy. Amen. That's what he did. All right. But he's, and I'm going to, I preach against liquor. I preach against beer guzzling. I preach against Anheuser-Busch in their backyard. Amen. And all that stuff. And I'm not even going to get into the rest of that stuff. But when we get into this doctrinal issue of wine and strong drink, we're going to look at the spiritual aspect. Have you ever seen these people on TV talking about being drunk in the spirit? Have you seen those? That's not in this book. Well, it is in this book, but it's a form of God's wrath and judgment against people who do not want to know the truth. And I'm going to show you that from the Bible. I'm going to show you the symbolism of wine and strong drink. Notice the language here. They have also erred. That means they have made errors in their thinking. These are the prophets and the priests of Israel. These are the men that the people of Israel are counting on to tell them what God said. And if these men are drunk, then they cannot be counted on. God said they've erred. That means they're not telling you the truth. They're giving you errors for doctrine. That's right. Amen? They're giving you errors for doctrine. And through strong drink are out of, look at those two words, the way. What does that mean to you? Can you think of a verse in the scripture that uses the two words, the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So what does that mean? Because they're drunkards, they are out of Christ. They're not preaching Christ. They're not teaching Christ. They're not teaching the cross for salvation. They're teaching something other than that, and they are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred, there it is again, through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in what? Vision. Who in here has ever been drunk and couldn't see? Some of you are kind of reluctant. You're just kind of going, yeah, I don't want to talk about that. And I've got the record, the rap sheet to prove it. All right? You don't have to admit that on camera. Okay. They're out of the way. They err in vision. It means they can't see straight. So you know what you'll hear? Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. That's what they're going to talk about. Things, issues that have come up. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with two men being together. That's what they say. They err in vision. They cannot see straight. They cannot see the Word of God for what it is. They cannot see the difference between right and wrong. And I'm going to show you that. But he said, they err in vision. They stumble in judgment. They cannot make right and true decisions about what is right and what is not right. You remember, I don't know if you remember this, a couple years ago up here in St. Louis, this man was, I think was on a business trip. He was visiting St. Louis or some kind of deal like that. He got up, he stayed out drunk, went to his hotel there, to Adams Mark Hotel up there, ended up, I don't know how he got in there, ended up going into the room of some teenage girls, crawled in bed with one of them, raped her, didn't even know, was out of his mind, didn't even know what he was doing. He lost his family, lost his job, lost his whole life because of that. Why? Was it worth it? No. I don't talk nice when it comes to alcohol and whiskey and scotch and all that. I don't talk nice about it. That is destroying this nation. It's destroying our churches. It is. It's bad. And so, for some reason, the lost world, they only know how to get together if there's alcohol involved. Anytime a group of people is going to get together, there's going to be alcohol involved of some kind. They cannot think without alcohol. They cannot get together and be normal and rational without alcohol. And their children are watching this. Can I get an amen out of God's people? So they stumble in judgment. They cannot make correct and right decisions. Then he says in verse 8, what is the ramifications? What is the next morning ramifications of being out drunk all night? Vomit. So he said all tables are full of vomit. I want to illustrate this way. What is this up here? What do we call this? The communion table. It is a representation. It's not totally accurate, but it's based upon the idea that in the tabernacle they had a table that had bread in it. What is bread a symbol of in the Bible? Scriptures, the Word of God. It's unleavened bread. There was 12 fresh baked loaves, hot loaves of bread on that table every day. Isn't that something? Amen. I believe God's Word ought to be fresh. Amen. Same bread, just fresh every day. And so think about that. This is our communion table. When we have communion, we have the Lord's Supper, we put the unleavened bread here, and we put the fruit of the vine on here, and we serve it from this table to God's people in honor. This do in remembrance of me. Who said that? Jesus Christ. We do that in honor and in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. So watch this. He's saying that the place that you serve from is full of vomit. Because the pastor, the priest, the prophet was drunk. He was a drunkard and he vomited on the table. All tables are full of vomit and filthiness. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. The only thing worse than a preacher or a pastor or evangelist serving up vomit to a congregation are the dogs in the congregation who go and lap it up. Amen? God's people ought to know better and run these people out of town. Say, don't you ever come back here with that nonsense. Somebody say amen. Well, they don't do that because they're dogs. They're dogs. That's biblical. They're dogs, and I'm going to get to that. So, I mean, I had not planned on doing this, but I'm going to deal with the issue of why the tables are full of vomit. Why the tables are full of vomit. Let me just read these scriptures to you real fast. Job chapter 20, verse 14. The Bible says, yet his meat in his bowels is turned. It is the gall of asps within him. That's talking about poison. They're in his bowels. He has swallowed down riches. He shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. He shall suck the poison of asps. The viper's tongue shall slay him. And in the Bible, the idea of what the viper does and what the poison does is it poisons God's people and it kills them and destroys them. Poison is a picture of false doctrine and false teaching and what men come up with in their minds rather than the Word of God. Let me give you an illustration from the Scripture. Who was it that was in the Garden of Eden talking to Eve? It was a serpent. It was a spiritual serpent. It was Lucifer himself, the devil, the dragon, the serpent. And what was he doing to Eve? He was poisoning her, but not with injecting her like he had teeth. He was poisoning her with what? His words. Your mind can be poisoned by somebody's words. Boy George, Culture Club, put an album out back in the 80s called The Church of the What? Oh, come on, who's my Boy George fan? You're not going to admit to it. He released an album after he got big called The Church of the Poisoned Mind. You know who Boy George is, don't you? He's a queer. A cross-dressing sodomite. That first time I set eyes on him, I'm going, boy, she can sing really pretty. And then Dick Clark told, you know, this is Boy George. I'm going, oh my. I repented of that. Amen. Words poison people. Words behind pulpits can poison people. Words in advertising can poison people. Words in movies can poison people. Words in TV shows can poison people. Words in talk shows can poison people. Words coming out of politicians can poison people. Words in songs. Anybody here who just want to raise your hand and testify of an old rock song that used to really drive you and it was kind of shaped how you think, raise your hand if you can think of one right now. Thank you for your honesty. Okay? Thank you for your honesty. Because those songs get in our head, and we just run those lyrics around all the time, and they would drive us and compel us in ways that we don't want to think about, talk about, do anything anymore. And all these guys did was talk. They sung about rebellion. They sung about hating your parents. They sung about immorality. And all kinds of immorality now, like I Kissed a Girl, and that wasn't sung by a man. Immorality, drugs, alcohol, Satanism, everything poisoning the minds of young people. And it's that's what he's talking about. He said, that poison got in my bowels. And he said, I swallowed down riches. You know what God calls riches? He said, I swallowed down riches and vomited them back up again. And just, you don't have to think about it much. But I come home one time when I was a teenager. Mom was really good at making enchiladas, and she made a mess of them. And I come home late from school doing music practice, and I ate a big plate of them, and I went to bed. Didn't know that I was coming down with a stomach virus that night. And I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning going, ah! And the rest is history. And it took me years. And I'm not making this. It took me years before I could stomach Mexican food again. It burnt me out. And we wonder why we cannot see revival in our churches. We cannot see revival in our families. We cannot see revival in our kids. Because poison is going into them and they're vomiting up the riches of the Word of God. And that's why the tables are full of vomit. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 6. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. You know who that is? You know who the guy with the evil eye is in the Scripture? He's the idol shepherd, I-D-O-L. In 21st century American terms, he's the American idol shepherd. I'll get an amen out of somebody if it's online. Send me an amen, all right? He has, you know what the idol shepherd is in Zechariah? Read that. Go study that. God put out his right eye. He's only got one eye. And there's all kinds of ramifications of that. But here's what he looks like. I put a picture up on my notes. Can everybody see that? If you cannot see that, get out a dollar bill, look at the back of it, and then hand it up here. No, just kidding. That God that's on the back of your dollar bill is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This God had his right eye put out. God put it out. And so he said, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. You know what he's saying? Don't listen to the teachings and the doctrines of the Antichrist. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to those things. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. Don't eat his bread. Bread, we already seen, is a picture of what you eat. If your soul eats, I think somebody just sent me an amen text message. Okay, anyway, I'm not kidding you. I heard it, felt it vibrate. Anyway, he said, neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know what that sounds like to me? Sounds like Joyce Myers. Now, if you just think it, bless God, you'll be it. You'll have it. You just make this positive confession, and then you'll be that. That's witchcraft. I don't have time to get into it. I'd love to teach on it sometime, if you can stomach it. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. When you find out that the guy that you've been following in politics is not really for you, when you find out that the rock star that you've been following, like Justin Bieber, and you thought, well, he prays before all of his concerts. To who? When you find that, when you find out that all these rock stars and all these country stars are not who you think they are, when you find out that all these religious people are not who they led you to believe, that they're after your money, they're after your soul, they're after your worship, but they're not, they don't care or give a flip about you. Okay, that'll make you vomit. Proverbs 25:16. Now what this is, I want you to turn here. I want you to look at this verse. I'm looking for the picture of Lisa going like this. It ain't showed up yet. Proverbs 25:16. Let me read it. Hast thou found honey? How many of you like to eat honey? Say amen. My wife brought me home a gift one day. Bless her heart. She said, guess what I found? What? She found no sugar honey. It's fake honey. It tastes like honey. And it's sweet, but it's not honey. And I like it because I can't have the sugar. It'll kill me. Okay? But I used to like to eat honey. I stayed with a pastor one time that he said, my coffee and sodas just drive me crazy. He said, I quit drinking it. He said, now, he said, I just pour me a cup of hot water and put some honey in it, stir it up. And he said, well, that's good. And honey's good for you. I believe that. Amen? But how much honey can you eat? A little bit. You can eat a little bit today, eat a little bit for lunch, eat a little bit for supper, eat a little bit tomorrow. But you can't eat a lot of it. Look at this verse. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Now what does that mean? Honey is a picture of the sweet words of the Bible. Okay, when they ate the manna, what did it taste like? It tasted like honey. Okay, it's what it tasted like. He said, thy words are sweeter than honey to me. Okay, the land that flows with milk and honey. It's a land where the word of God is. And here's what I think he's teaching on this, and I want you to just ponder this. Okay, I believe you ought to study your Bible. I believe you ought to study your Bible every day. Amen. Read something out of it every day. Even if it's just a verse or two, read something out of it every day. I can tell you that when you do nothing but just sit and read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, it is not designed for you to read nonstop. Things, what'd you say? That's it. I've got that in my notes. Hear a little and there. You know why? Holy Ghost knows Scripture and He quotes Scripture to us. And so when I read the Bible, sometimes I'll study it and I'll study other things around it, sometimes all day long. I don't do that every day. It's not good for me. It's not good for everybody else. And there's just something about it, and I've never really experienced this, but I've heard of some people on the internet who brag about, I read the Bible 8-10 hours a day. I read it every day, and I already, and they brag about how much they know, and their doctrine is way out here in left field. I mean, it is way, way, way out there. And besides that, I think there's honey parts of the Bible, and I think there's milk parts of the Bible, and I think there's meat parts of the Bible, and God designed us to have a balanced lifestyle as far as eating different things at different times instead of just the same thing over and over again. Does that make sense to everybody? So the Bible gives us a couple examples of this. Number one, he says in Isaiah 28, he said the doctrine is here a little and there a little. Here a little and there a little. And then you remember the doctrine of the manna, the law concerning manna. God said, go out and collect the manna every day, but collect how much? Just enough for one day. And when you bring that in, you feed on that, you grind it into meal and make bread, do whatever you want to, and it tasted like honey. But he said, just enough for every day. And he said, on the sixth day, get enough for 2 days, I'll keep it till the Sabbath day, and you eat it on the Sabbath day. But if you what happened if they collected too much? It rotted. It was no good to them after that. What did Jesus, when he taught us how to pray, when he said, Lord, teach us how to pray, what did he say? Give us our daily bread. I believe in studying a little every day. And what happened was, what happens is a guy gets up in the morning, he'll read his Bible. He'll take that with him in his mind, and as he's doing his work, the Holy Ghost is going to work that stuff into his life. And he's, by the end of the day, he's got God dealing with him about issues in life that he's read that morning. And he's bettered by it. Then he goes home and maybe he'll share it with his family or whatever. He'll thank God for it. The next day, get up and read the Bible again. Do the same thing over again. That kind of lifestyle is good for you. Amen. That'll help you. That's like getting up, getting a good bacon and eggs and biscuits and gravy and breakfast in you. Amen. With a little fruit on the side to make your wife happy or whatever. But I don't know. I'm just seeing this in the Bible. Too much. I think too much Bible in one day at one time. I don't think that's good for people. That's just kind of what I see in the Bible. You might have a different opinion on that, but anyway, that's what I see. Isaiah 19, listen to this. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof. He's talking about Egypt. Egypt is always in the Bible a land that represents Satan's kingdom or the world. It always represents that. Where did God take his people from? He saved them out of Egypt. Where did God save you from? You used to be in Egypt, didn't you? Okay? God saved you out of Egypt. Egypt is always a type of the world. Anything that is in Egypt is not good. So he said, the Lord mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof of Egypt. And they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof. The religion of Egypt was wrong. The lifestyle of Egypt was wrong. The food of Egypt, everything about Egypt was wrong. And he said it caused them to err in every work thereof. Pharaoh never got it right as far as God's people was concerned. And he had Moses the lawgiver to give him the words of God, and he never got it right. And then it said, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. That's how he described Egypt. And he said he mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof. Now, you can think, well, I know what the word pervert means, or something that's perverse or perverted. And you're right on that. Let me give you another example of that, and something for you to think out. I think that this Bible is pure in every word. And you know why I think that? The words of the Lord are pure words. That's Psalm 12. When I quote scripture and my Bible tells me that these words are pure, and later on in the Psalms it said, thy word is true from the beginning, which means Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, those are all true in spite of what all the scientists want to tell us about the universe. Cosmos has come back on TV. I haven't seen it yet, but you know, they're not going to preach the gospel. They're not going to tell you, now in the beginning, God created this universe, billions and billions of stars in 6 days. They're not going to tell you that. They're going to lie through their teeth. Science falsely so-called, the Bible says. They make that up. I just believe the Bible. I believe it's true and pure from the very beginning. The devil hates this book. So what is he trying to, what does he do? What is he good at? He's good at poisoning, and he's good. What, if you ever been snake bit, or you've been spider bit, or some kind of critter has harmed you with a bite or a sting, what does that do to your flesh? It corrupts it. It perverts it. It ruins it. It's no good. Some people get spider bites and they lose skin about this big around. Perverseness is when you take something that's pure and you pervert it. Amen? I think a church service ought to be pure. I think the gathering of God's people should be in a pure manner. And there's preachers now putting beds up on the stage talking about, oh, we're going to talk about sex for 4 weeks. We're going to talk about this and that and the other. And stuff that I will not even mention in this room, they preach on. One pastor out, he's out east somewhere in North Carolina, South Carolina, something like that. His name is Perry Noble. He's a foul-mouthed preacher. He brags that his services are PG-13. He will not allow sixth grade and below into the adult worship service because of how he's going to talk in there. That's wrong. That's sick. That man's got a perverted mind or something. He's a guy had had a rock group on the stage playing Hell's Bells from AC/DC up on the stage of his church. That's perverted. That's wicked. That's wrong. You know what's wrong with him? He does not. The Bible says to the pure, all things are pure. To them that are defiled, nothing is pure. You know what he believes about the Bible? It's not all the Bibles are right. All the Bible's got mistakes in it. And so let's just feel how God feels to us. And I won't get into all that. But anyway, when they tell you that your Bible has been corrupted, they're giving you a perverted gospel. It's been perverted. It's been corrupted. It's been made unpure. And God said he mingled a perverse spirit. And that perverse spirit is just like a drunken man who staggers in his own vomit. By the way, talking about AC/DC. You remember them? You remember Bon Scott? How'd he die, Stevie? Died in his puke. Drunken, after a concert, in the back of the limousine, and choked on his own vomit and was too drunk to wake up. He sang Highway to Hell all the way down. He's there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. And this will be the last one for tonight.
Now I want you to take your Bible and turn there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Some of you want to get home and watch Cosmos. I want to hurry up and get you there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Go ahead. I got it DVR'd. It's no big deal. I'll watch it later. 2 Peter chapter 2, 20. Let me turn there. I got it on my notes here. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Jimmy and Linda, Sterling, Gloria, and Lisa, we've been here a long time. We've been in this church a long time. We've seen people come in and go out. They come in, make a pretense of religion, and they go out. After they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein. You ever seen a python wrap around something? That's the idea that puts in mind. A snake wrapping around it. It gets entangled. Thorns will entangle you. Vines will entangle. There's a vine of Sodom, the book of Deuteronomy says. And so they get entangled therein and are overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. And he's going to quote scripture here. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. No wonder God called pigs unclean. They live an unclean life. My choir director, Mr. Nall, bless his heart, he come by here the other day and I wouldn't hear to say hi to me. He always had a thing on his music room door there at the high school I went to. He was a choir director at Festus High. And it said, never teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and it annoys the pig. And I always wanted to ask him, just who are you saying that to? Okay. But we were pretty good buddies back then. Think of a hog. You can put, the Bible even talks about putting a jewel in a swine's snout. You've not beautified the pig, you've defiled the pearl. Amen? Put lipstick on it, put a little dress on it. All you've done is ruined a good dress and some good makeup. That's all you've done. When you wash a hog, their nature is to go right back out and get right back in the slop again. That is their nature. That is who they are. And if God does not change their nature, and let's be honest, everybody in here has got an unclean nature about us. Okay? And if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost of God keeping us clean, that's where we would be. I believe in being kept. I believe in your free will, though. I believe in both of them. I don't think they're contradictory to one another at all. But we have seen people in our lifetime come in, oh, we're going to get clean now. Right back out. Right back out. And so those people, those pastors, those churches that they knew the way at one time, denominations, hey, a nation that knew the way at one time. You remember that? Remember those days? We knew the way. Now we're out of the way. And we're about to be a dog returning to its vomit in this country. Someone who walks the walk for a while and then goes back. They're just dogs. And so you know what? Here, watch this. Here's the preacher, and he's drunk. You see, they went to a Bible-believing church for a while, but they didn't like something the preacher said, so they left, and they went to these hip-hop churches, and they said, boy, that music's good. And they get to swaying and get to doing that. They don't know that drunk preacher, he's spiritually drunk. He has false doctrine. He spews out vomit and serves that up to them. And those dogs say, that's what we like right there. Lap, 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 lap. There's been a number of people, not most people, not been here a long time. I've seen them come in, come out. I'll talk to them. Yeah, you guys going to church? Yeah, we're going to church. Yeah, we liked your teaching, but you know, the music is better over there. And we just kind of like that over there. And they just give me all these reasons why. But I've seen people, I've heard of people, pastors tell me stories. They'll come in, they'll sit down and hear who we are. They're going to church somewhere, but it's serving up vomit. Yeah. And they're the dogs that are lapping it up. And it's not right. Jesus rejected Laodicea for that very reason. I will spew you out of my mouth. You know what hot and cold is? When you mix it together, it's lukewarm, right? You know what I see that is? You're trying to mix God with your sin. It don't work. Has anybody ever had milk and mustard? Stand to your feet. Seriously, anybody ever had milk and mustard? I have. I accidentally, you know, I went to the bathroom Saturday night, got to get up and preach the next day. I thought I was popping 4 ibuprofen, back pain. I had 4 Benadryls. As soon as I swallowed, I went, oh! I swallowed 4 Benadryls. I didn't know what to do, okay? So Lisa called the poison hotline. And they said, is your kid sick? No, it's my husband. Well, give him some milk and mustard. That'll make him, you know, what it'll do? It'll just make him sleepy. Well, I don't want to be sleepy. I got to preach tomorrow morning. Okay. So Lisa mixed up milk and mustard. Those two do not go together. And I thought, Steve, that it was the taste of it that make you gag. So I went like that and downed it. And a minute, I'm going, I don't think that worked. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and all of a sudden, 4 minutes, I'm going, boom, into the bathroom. Those two things do not mix inside of your stomach. It's the combination of the two that does something, and your stomach says, out! Okay? That is God and the devil. What concord hath Christ with Belial? What agreement hath light with darkness? They're not to be mixed together. Can I hear you say amen?